All right. Thank you, folks. We are giving today, of course, as our final day of the mission conference. I already said we had a great two nights of it already, Wednesday and Thursday night. And tremendous. We've got some missionaries with us this morning that we're going to be hearing from also. Brother Scotty Drake's back there sitting down. He was sick, missed the mission conference nights with us. And maybe tonight we'll get to hear from you, Scotty. I'm giving you time to heal up, amen. If you need help, come to me. I've had so many home remedies given to me that if any of them work, I'll live forever, amen. Plan to anyway, by the way. Amen. But we do hope you feel better. It's good to have Brother Tom Knickenbocker with us. Brother Tom is working, of course, with Helps Ministries. And he worked with us on Wednesday and Thursday night, did a great job coordinating things for us. I'm going to turn it over to him, and we've got a couple of missionaries we're going to hear from here in Sunday school. And we had some great testimonies the other night. Just I can't take time now to retell them to you. Hope you were here. But Brother Tom, if you would come on up and introduce the missionaries to us and just take control here. Give it back to me at about 11 minutes till 10 so we can get things moving, get the choir out. By the way, we'll have a little film strip at that break between Sunday school and church. It's about 7 or 8 minutes long, and it'll show something while everybody's coming in and out, but you can watch the film there a little bit. Brother Tom, God bless you. Glad to have you. Amen.
Thank you, Dr. Carter. Appreciate the opportunity of being here and being in the old people's class. I think that's great. Amen? You didn't say that, did you? I think I did. You know, Help Ministries has been a real blessing in a lot of people's lives and our missionaries here. I did a little study on the word help. The word help is mentioned 125 times in the Bible. I thought that's pretty interesting. Of course, what help means help evangelize lost people. I've kind of added to that a little bit as I've gone around the country talking to a lot of pastors and trying to be a blessing to them. It also stands for help encourage local pastors. Amen. And we've been doing that a lot. And up in New York State, my wife and I were up there and we're in about 16 churches this last summer and two preachers' fellowships. And, you know, just telling them about Help Ministries, what's going on. You see the little light come on in the pastor's eyes, and he says, man, this is what we need to be doing. This is money well spent in missions, reaching, helping the nationals to reach their own people. And I was talking to one of your brothers here that's used to pastor New York City, and he was talking, he says, well, I'm from New York, so it's easy for me to pastor New York City. I says, there's national missions right there again, amen? And that's the truth. Then I was studying through Paul's epistles a number of years ago. And if you line up all his epistles, Paul, I think there are 13 of them. No? How many are there? 13, something like that. Anyway, Paul's epistles, if you read through his epistles, you see people's names keep popping up all the time. He's thanking this person and that person. And I counted up 125 helpers that the Apostle Paul had. We think of the Apostle Paul as the great missionary, and he was. He was tenacious. He just kept after it. But he acted like he couldn't get along without these people that helped him. I mean, they provided him clothing. They provided him books. They took his letters from prison to churches, from one church to another. And you know, that's what we do in Help Ministries. We're the catalyst that brings the national pastor, the American church, and introduces them to each other. And without Help Ministries, these fellows wouldn't know about you, and you wouldn't know about them. And we can stand here and say, you know, we've got some missionaries in Togo, Africa that need support. Just all support them, okay? But you know what? It's different when you see them. It's different when you hear them. You're going to hear some accounts today of some very unusual accounts of what's going on over in Togo, Africa, and some of the things these people deal with on a daily basis that most of us have never even witnessed before. And we're going to have them come at this time, Brother Emil Homowu. If you can't remember his name, he goes by the name Coffee. And then we all like our coffee, don't we? Amen. And Brother Jean-Claude is from Haiti. He's a pastor in Haiti. Both these fellows have started 10 churches apiece. And great ministries going on, and children's homes, and they'll tell you more about that. But brother, you stand right here because you're going to be talking. He's going to speak in French, and he's going to interpret or interrupt as the case may be. Amen? So come ahead if you would.
Jésus vient bientôt, prépare-toi à la rencontre de ton Dieu. C'est mon premier message.
Jesus is coming soon, get ready for his coming.
Je suis Claude Jean venant d'Haïti.
My name is Claude Jean from Haiti.
Je suis né dans une famille chrétienne depuis l'enfance, j'étais à l'église avec mes parents.
I was born to a Christian family, and as a child, I used to go to church with my parents.
Là où je trouve mon grand-papa, mon papa, ma grand-mère, tous étaient à l'église baptiste du Cap Haïtien.
The whole family was in church. From my grandfather to my father and mother, they were all in the Baptist church.
Mais je ne comprenais pas ce que c'est le salut.
But I didn't understand about salvation.
C'était à l'âge des 18 ans que je connais que j'étais un pécheur et qu'il fallait donner ma vie à Jésus.
It was only when I turned 18 that I knew that I was a sinner and that I needed to receive Jesus as my savior.
C'était un jour, un ami m'a invité dans un bon carnaval pour danser.
Even though I was supposed to be in church one Sunday, a friend invited me to go out with him and have some good times.
Quand j'ai commencé à danser, je pris un calotte entre yeux et oreilles.
While we were dancing, someone hit me on the face.
Là, je me trouve aveuglement.
And it was so hard that I couldn't see for a while.
Et en ce moment, je me trouve avec, je sais, c'était pas ma place. Parce que la Bible a dit, ne méprenez le monde, ni les choses qui sont dans le monde.
Then I realized that that was not a place for me, because the Bible says that don't love the world and the things of the world.
Si quelqu'un aime le monde, l'amour du Père n'est point en eux.
If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him.
C'était en 1969, j'ai pris ma décision pour courir et pour arriver à l'église et pour confesser à Dieu.
That was happening in 1969, and from there, I ran to a Baptist church that was close by, and there I found someone who led me to Christ.
Quand j'ai reçu l'appel pour mon ministère, j'ai pris ma décision pour aller à l'école théologie.
Later on, I felt the call to the ministry and I went to a Bible school.
Après ma formation biblique, j'ai commencé mon premier église que j'ai dirigé jusqu'à présent.
And after my training, I started the church I'm still pastoring today.
Après cette église, j'ai fondé 9 autres églises à travers d'Haïti.
But apart from that church, I started 9 other churches in Haiti.
Ma vision, c'est d'implanter plus d'autres églises à travers d'Haïti.
My vision is to start more churches in Haiti.
Je sais que tu as entendu comment le tragique tremblement de terre m'a fait subir beaucoup d'Haïtiens.
You've heard of the 2010 earthquake in Haiti.
Et beaucoup d'églises ont été perdues et ma maison aussi est perdue.
We lost many churches and I lost my house too.
J'ai aussi fondé un orphelinat qui en a 35 enfants.
I have also started an orphanage with 35 children.
25 filles et 10 garçons.
We have 25 girls and 10 boys.
J'ai fondé cet orphelinat avec un groupe de pasteurs, 9 pasteurs. C'est pourquoi je vis la souffrance des enfants qui courent dans la rue sans père, sans mère, et mais qui crient au secours.
After the earthquake, I saw many children on the street with no parents asking for help. C'est pour Then ça. I contacted some other preachers and we decided to start that orphanage.
C'est pour cela que nous prenons cette décision pour former cet orphelinat.
We started the orphanage to take care of some of them. There are so many. And we gave home and schooling for some of them.
Haïti n'est pas encore décomblé. Port-au-Prince reste toujours de la même façon parce que toutes les maisons, les décombres, tous est là, pas encore décomblé.
A lot needs to be done in Haiti. We have so many problems and there are more works to do to rebuild Haiti.
Parfois ces problèmes entre le gouvernement, les problèmes, le député, les sénateurs, tous ont... je ne sais pas, c'est Dieu seul qui peut délivrer Haïti de cette tragique.
What is sad is that the official, the government, people cannot get along with each other and think about rebuilding the country.
Priez pour Haïti.
So we need your prayers.
Que Dieu vous garde et vous bénisse.
May God bless you.
Je vais chanter un chant pour vous en créole, deux couplets de chant en créole pour savoir comment les Haïtiens chantent en créole. Mais je parle français maintenant, mais je vais chanter en créole.
I've just spoken in French, now I want to sing in créole. A song you know in English with the title Nobody Cares for Me Like Jesus.
Et je suis content aussi, je vois plusieurs Haïtiens dans cette dite église.
I'm happy to see some Haitian in this church.
Je veux saluer tous les Haïtiens en créole. Oui. Moi salue nous dans le nom de Jésus. Moi, t'as voulu dire où ça Jésus fait pour que moi. Depuis moi, t'es joint les corbons en mi moi. Moi, t'as dit aux gens la vie t'es changé complètement. Et que moi, t'es rempli avec contentement. Personne, pas Jean, moi, même moi, quand Jésus, pas gagnons l'autre bon ami, qu'on les, non, prenez l'autre qu'à blanchi péché, qui ou j'en pile, oh. À la lité, amen. Vim, t'es tout seul avec péché, les Jésus, joigne moi. Amen. Qu'em t'es plein avec misère, tête moi, t'es chargé. Mais avec amour, Jésus, développé moi. Et les conduit moi côté m'te doué aller. Personne, pas Jean moi même moi, quand Jésus. Pas gagnons l'autre bon ami, qu'on les. Non, prenez l'autre qu'à blanchi péché, mieux qui vous j'en pile. Oh, à la lité, amen. Thank you. I love you.
It's good to be here this morning. My name is Emil Coffee. Coffee is a real name because I was born on Friday. But it's spelled K-O-F-F-I. I was born in 1959 and saved 1974 at age of 16. At that time, I thought I was saved because I was baptized as a Catholic. I was going to church every Sunday. And I was trying to do good and to obey the Ten Commandments as we were taught in the church to do. As I was doing those things, I thought I was saved. Even though we were still worshiping idols. This is a great problem in Togo. People go to church on Sunday, and during the week, they'll go see the fetish priest for anything they need. And they think they are Christians because they are at church. That was what I was thinking until one day I found a gospel tract on the ground. Apparently someone got a tract and threw it away. As I was passing by, I found that tract. I picked it up and read it. It was presenting the gospel in 4 points. It said, you are a lost sinner and you cannot save yourself. Jesus died for you. You must believe on him to be saved. It was something I never heard before. But as I kept on reading that tract, I was convicted that I was a sinner. I was lost. And I needed to receive Jesus to be saved. And I thank God that there was a salvation prayer at the bottom of the tract. And through that prayer, I gave myself to Jesus. And I thank God for my salvation. I thank God for looking for me, searching for me, and finding me through that tract. After I prayed and gave myself to Jesus, I did not know what to do next. I did not want to go to a Catholic church anymore. But I knew nobody that was teaching what was on the tract. So I decided to find a church that was preaching what I have on the tract. So every Sunday, I would take my tract in hand and visit different churches, hoping to find a church that was preaching that message. Unfortunately, I found no church that was preaching that message. So I wrote to the producers of the tract. It was made in Germany, in French, and they were offering some Bible correspondence courses for anyone who would like to study the Bible. So I wrote them requesting those courses. But the answer came back from my own country. What happened was that an American missionary just came to our country. He was the one who bought a tract from them, passed it out, gave it to someone who threw it away just for me. So they sent my address to him, and he wrote me and directed me to his house. When I met him, he helped me to have the assurance of my salvation. I knew that I was saved, and I'll go to heaven when I die. And I always thank God for American churches, Christians, for sending missionaries to us. You are living in a great darkness. You cannot imagine what is it, but it's a great darkness. We are living in bondage to Satan through fear of death. For everything in life, you have to make sacrifices to the Spirit. We are afraid of leaving them because we are afraid that they will hurt us if we leave them. For everything, you have to make sacrifices to trees in the forest, to images of animals. I remember when I was very young, there was my father, they sacrificed a goat to the family spirit. And while the blood was poured upon the idol, we came and spoke our wishes in the ear of the goat, saying that if they keep us safe and help us to succeed in life, we will serve them. You see the darkness in which we were living. But the gospel came, and I got saved. And I'm taking that same gospel to our people. Because only Jesus can liberate them from that bondage to Satan and give them everlasting life. And I stand here before you as the product of your effort in sending out missionaries. That gospel that saved us, we are preaching to our people. And God is saving many people. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation, as you read in Romans 1, verse 16. And we are able to see that power demonstrate in our country because, you know, Africa is infested with evil spirits. We worship them in the open. And people are afraid of those we call fetish priests. People are afraid of them because they have evil power to hurt people. But God is saving them. I have one man in my church. He was a fetish priest. And he was invited to a wedding in the church. He came with the purpose of testing us to see if you have a greater power than his. So while I was preaching, he tried to put curse on me. Curse are word of incantation, word that you say that is free use to destroy the life of people. So they will say those words. He was expecting me to just drop dead while preaching. He did it once, twice, no success. He thought the spirit had left him. So he went out to the bathroom and called upon the spirit one more time. The spirit responded to him through something. He has an object that moved in his pocket, showing that the spirit was still with him. He came back and tried again. Nothing happened. He was confused. During the week, he went to see the one who invited him and wanted to know what kind of power his preacher has. He was told no other power than Jesus. He was able to witness to him. Next Sunday, he came to church. And while the invitation was given, he walked forward. And while he was walking forward, his wife and five of his children followed him. And the whole family got saved that day.
Amen.
Because they saw the power of Jesus. Those things are real in Africa. Evil power is real because evil spirits are real. This is what we are dealing with. And by the gospel, by the power of the gospel, we are able to liberate people from that bondage, to give them assurance that in Christ they have the strongest protection. Not only they have their sin forgiven, they have everlasting life, but they will not fear the spirit anymore. And when they see that, they turn to Christ and are saved. You want to be able to continue that ministry? The second hour, I will be speaking about my ministry, what we are doing there. But I just want to thank God for my salvation, for the way he searched for me, find me, because he has a plan for me. Today I can see why he saved me. And I thank you very much. Thank you.
Amen.
Well, he didn't tell you the rest of the story of that. He never does. I have to keep saying, you got to tell him that story. You got to tell him that story. This fetish priest who got saved at his church, they went home to his house afterwards and dug a big hole and dumped all his stuff in there that he worked with the devil with and burned it, broke it and burned it. And they says now when they go witnessing, they go to a village and they have a meeting. This man will stand up and he says, I used to be a fetish priest. And everybody goes, ugh. And everybody listens and gives them great attention. And he tells them how God saved his soul and delivered him from the power of Satan and how they can have freedom as well. And that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? You know, the devil is just as real here in America as he is over there. It's just more open over there. God, you know, we have more Christians here, I believe, than over there. And the power of God is very strong here in so many ways. And we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And so we don't see a lot of the devil is a little more underground here than he is, but he's still very much involved. He's involved in the rock music that's around, isn't he? He's involved in false doctrine, and he works underhandedly in so many different ways. Where over there, it's very outward, and people get sick and they die after curses are put on them. And this is very real. The devil's real. He's got a lot of demons running around. At least a third of all the angels that were in heaven are now here causing trouble under Satan's power, and that we got kicked out of heaven, and we know that. And so, but we need to keep these men in prayer. Amen? And the morning service, I'll share the second story with you. That's really a powerful story of what God did for them. And seeing the power of Satan and then the power of God right behind it. And that's just a wonderful thing. We got a few minutes. Can we take a few questions, you think? Oh, I see. Okay, we're on the radio. It's kind of hard. Well, we can try it. Does anybody have a question? We'll re-say the question. Come on up, fellas. If you have a question for these men, one from Togo, West Africa, and the other one from Haiti. We had a lot of discussions about this in the last month. I've been with these fellows for a whole month, and we asked them different questions about how demonism was in their country, voodoo. Tell us about Benin. Tell us what's going on in Benin, which is the country right next to Togo.
Yes, the Republic of Benin, next to Togo, a French-speaking country, is the birthplace of voodoo. And now every year, people will come from every part of the world and have a voodoo festival. It's the time they show forth their powers. It's a demonstration of evil power in Republic of Benin. And people will go there just to have more power, to get acquainted with anyone that can give them more evil power. And the need there for the gospel is greater. And God is opening a door for us there. We are planning to go there and start a church there. People in Togo looking for more power, healing, things like that will go there. And it was called before, the name was changed. It's called Dahomey. That means the house of the serpent. So they worship the spirit snake. So the country was named after that. One president came, he claimed to be a Christian. No mean a Christian, but at least he changed that name. He changed the name to Republic of Benin. It's just to show that the whole country is given to the Spirit. So if God allows us to go there, we'll be able to start a church there.
Yeah. Amen. On the video, we saw a video Thursday night, and you probably don't remember everything about that. There's a lot of faces that were shown. But right before the guy sings People Need the Lord on there, there was a picture of two girls, two young girls, that had scars here, 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 and here. And tell us what that means, okay? They're from Togo.
That is a mark of a typical village where they worship a snake, serpent, idol. That snake is not supposed to be killed. It's not poisonous. When you get close to it, it just roll and stay there. So the mark here says that that girl belonged to that. Anyone from that tribe has that mark on their face. They did as a child, it cannot be, it cannot go, you cannot wipe it. It's two here, two here, two here, and two here. When we see them, we know what God or spirit they belong to, they worship. So I saw that in the movie. Things are real there.
Of course, the people on the radio can't hear it, can't see what we're saying here, here, and here, and here. So it was on the forehead, the chin, and the two cheeks. Yes, sir, brother.
What does the voodoo religion believe or they teach?
What does the voodoo religion teach or believe?
Yes, you need to protect yourself. God is so far, and God doesn't work quickly. Satan does. So first thing is to be protected from other evil spirits. So when you worship voodoo, it will do for you anything you need. For everything in life, the spirit promise to be with you, take care of you, and do your wishes. So people just worship it because it's given down from the family, and then to be protected from other evil spirits. Because even those who are worshiping the spirit, they are not safe, because another, an enemy can use another spirit to hurt you. So you need something that will protect you.
Talk about the president of your country dying. What happened after that?
Yes, you know, this is what happened. We cannot be sure of that. Our president, the late president who died, first he died and nobody saw the corpse. He wasn't exposed. They said he died from cancer, going to die in the airplane, going to Israel for treatment, but nobody saw the corpse. He was buried, but nobody saw it. But the day he died, there was a strong wind from north to the south. That doesn't happen in Togo. The wind blew so hard that people were asking themselves what is happening. And then in the evening, it was told that the president died. In country, we believe that our former president was serving the spirit. We know that. He has given himself to the spirit. they will sacrifice on National Day, National Independence Day, they will sacrifice a cow, big cow, to the spirit that is taking care of the country. That when the head is given to the devil, you can imagine what will happen in that country. So he's known of serving the spirit. His death, we know, nobody knows where the corpse was, what they did with it. It's mysterious death. This is to say that this is the context in which we are living there. So that's why we need the gospel. That's the light. We need it so much. And thank God it is there and it's saving people. Amen.
Ephesians chapter 6 tells us about spiritual warfare that goes on. Amen. And the Bible says there's spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Let me just get this for you. Ephesians chapter 6. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So there's principalities and powers. There's different levels. The devil has his, it's all organized. I mean, God has an organization of angels too. He has Michael the archangel. He has Gabriel, who is less in power. I was reading this morning of Daniel, where the angel took 21 days to get to Daniel, and who was hindering him? Well, Satan was hindering him. So he had to call Michael the archangel to come and help him fight off the devil so he could get to Daniel and give him the message. Amazing story there. But the devil never has an original thought. He just takes what God does and he abuses it and twists it and uses it for his own glory. And God has an organization of angels. And so Lucifer has an organization of angels. And but you know, Bible says we put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to withstand an evil day and having done all to stand. God wants us to stand, and the only way we can do that is put on the armor of God. And we know what the armor is there, the truth, the breastplate of righteousness, loins girded about with truth and righteousness, and the preparation of the gospel of peace, taking the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation. Those are all defensive, but we only have one offensive weapon, and that's the sword of the word of God. Amen? And the word of God is piercing the darkness there in Togo, Africa. And they're starting churches all over the place there. And he says, when people hear the truth of the word of God, they respond very quickly. Why? Because he says, nobody in Togo denies that there is a God. They don't have any atheists in Togo. We have a lot of them here. They've been educated out of their faith. But over there, they all believe in spirits. So therefore, they believe in a God. They believe in the supernatural. It's not hard for them to believe there's a God in heaven that does all that. And so, thank God. Pray for these men. Amen. Hold them up in prayer as they fight the powers of darkness in their countries. And we know we're on the winning side. Amen. We are on the winning side. And we know who's going to win in the end. We've read the back of the book, and we win. Amen. Amen. Dr. Carter, thank you.
Okay, remember to pray for him. I wish that we could communicate maybe, especially with the brother down in Haiti, a little bit better there, but it's tremendous. They're out there where the devil looks them in the face and fights them every day, and yet they've got the power of the gospel and getting the job done. All right, we will let the folks out to come in with the choir. They'll show a little film strip right here. It's okay to move around, go to the restroom and so forth, but you might want to also try to watch that just a little bit here during the break time. Sunday school report was a little over 1,000, 1,073, so that was good.
called to work with people in the remote regions of the West who follow witch doctors and believe that spirits exist in animals and in nature. Please consider joining our team as we seek to follow God's plan in meeting the physical and spiritual needs of these orphans and widows.
Give me ears to hear your spirit. Give me feet to follow through, and the faith to follow you.
My name is Russ Daniels. This is my wife, Sylvia, and our three children, Jonathan, Elizabeth, and David. We are Baptist Bible Fellowship missionaries to the beautiful country of Uganda, East Africa. The church is now meeting in the main auditorium upstairs, but the finishing work has yet to be completed.
From the beginning, we have had a Bible Institute program training men and women for Christian ministry. In August of 2002, we had our first graduation with six students graduating from our Bible Institute program. In December 2003, these two national pastors were ordained as ministers of the gospel.
I want to thank you so much for sending Pastor Daniel and his family to Uganda. If we did not send them, we wouldn't be saved. We would be still lost in our sins.
Words and pictures cannot fully convey to you the need for more light in the midst of the moral and spiritual blackness in this corner of God's world.
Weary, the singers are tired. The church as we know it is losing its fire. And some are discouraged from bearing the load. But we must determined to keep pressing on, as if just one more soul were to walk down the aisle, it would be worth every struggle, it would be worth every mile. A lifetime of labor is still worth it all if it rescues just one more.
Pastor Sincere, and I'm a pastor of the Haitian Church in Haiti, the Compassion Church of Christ Baptist Church. So I will ask you, people of America, to keep thinking about Haiti, because they are in bad shape. Still, they are living in tents. Still, they are living 2.1 million still living in tents. So I feel like burden to go after those. And because and now many tents, they don't have strong church in every big tent cities. So people will hear the word, because a lot of people never hear the word because they've been inside the house. Now they are in the camp, they got no choice. If we preach, they have to listen. They got to make their mind up and find out what they want to do. And that's the issue here.